This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Well, thank you. Nice to chat to you.
Lovely to chat to you. 630 Australians off to Maccabi. That's incredible. Is anyone left in Australia?
It is incredible. And of those, 535 are athletes aged 13 to 83, and another 100 are there as support staff, managers, etc. And this is obviously for the Maccabi Games, 21st Maccabi Games, which are due to open in 2 days' time. Now, that's obviously the, and I should add there that Australia ranks, together with Canada, as the third largest contingent after Israel and after the United States. And Australia typically has the third largest contingent. So that is the positive news. The other side of the story today is that tomorrow, July 14th, will mark the 25th anniversary of the Maccabi Games bridge disaster.
That's now, what I was going to ask you. How does Australia deal with that? Because there must be so much sadness tinged with the association with the Maccabi Games.
Indeed, there absolutely is. And just to give a quick recap for those who might not be familiar or basically weren't born at the time it happened. So we're talking 1997, 25 years ago. And this was the 15th Maccabi Games then. And the opening ceremony was about to begin at the Ramat Gan Stadium outside Tel Aviv. And there was a makeshift pedestrian bridge leading to the opening ceremony. And the Australian delegation at the time was about 350 strong. It was walking over this makeshift bridge, which sadly splintered, cracked, and then totally collapsed. And Australians plunged into the Yarkon River below, which was heavily polluted and toxic. And other Australians were crashing onto their fellow participants who had already fallen into the water. Broken bridge was falling on top of them. Armed soldiers are trying to curb the panic. Helicopters are rushing in. Stretchers rushing in. And the tragedy was that four Australians lost their lives in this tragedy. And more than 60 of their teammates were either injured, physically injured, or severely impacted by ingesting some of the toxic water in the Yarkon River. And needless to say, the Australian community was in shock at what had taken place. And then to your question there, what compounded the trauma was that there was, for weeks and months and years, there was obfuscation and Maccabi World Union refusing to acknowledge moral responsibility to give information about what had happened. And the shock and the grief turned to absolute anger at the seemingly reckless indifference to the lives of participants. And so the then president of the Zionist Federation, a man named Dr. Ron Weiser, led a dual-pronged campaign, if I can put it that way. One was for justice for what had taken place, four lives were lost, as I say, and compensation for those who were severely injured and poor bereaved families. And it took about 7 years for all of this to eventually work its way through the Israeli system. And eventually the Israeli justice system did prevail, and four men who were involved in the building of that shoddy bridge were imprisoned. And the person who was then head of the Maccabi Games Organizing Committee was sentenced to 6 months community service. And as far as compensation was concerned, and this was another part of the reason why it took so long, was that the Maccabi Games are heavily uninsured. And so the Israeli government, even though it was not directly responsible for the Maccabi, it really came to the party in terms of compensation. And approximately $20 million Australian was paid out to the impacted families, with the Israeli government putting in the vast bulk of that payment. So that took 7 years. And in the meantime, I should mention that Australia boycotted the subsequent Maccabi Games in 2001, but then did return in 2005, given that the issues were now being sorted out. So as you say, it's fabulous the Maccabiah Games is happening now, but for Australian Jewish community, it certainly is this tragedy which very much goes together with this day.
And how assured are Australians and is the participants in it following that terrible tragedy that the safety of the participants is going to be assured?
Well, that makeshift bridge is no longer there. There is now, I have not seen it personally, but I am reliably informed that there is now a permanent bridge structure there in place, so that there isn't any shoddy wooden bridge that to walk over. There's a permanent structure in place there, and at the same time there's this is not answering your question, but there's a memorial, a dignified memorial erected at the site of the tragedy, given everything that has happened, I mean, there was this was also unprecedented, by the way. There was a Knesset committee of inquiry into the bridge collapse, and the part that was unprecedented was that inquiry was called at the behest of a non-Israeli entity, and that had never happened before. And that inquiry looked into everything that had happened, and made all sorts of recommendations. And in fact, when Australia went back to the games, two games later in 2005, it went with a number of conditions, and one of those conditions exactly was, to your point, was about the safety of all participants being assured. Obviously, God forbid any accidents can happen, but one of the conditions was that there should be, you know, renewed focus or attention given to the safety and livelihood of all participants.
Is Australia, do Australian athletes participate in the full range of sports that are available?
Very much so. And so the age range of the 535 participants is 13 all the way to 83.
Yes, can we talk about this 83-year-old? I'm just fascinated.
Yeah, I think he's playing lawn bowls. Although I'm open, the last time I read, he'll be playing lawn bowls. But I should mention as well is that a young man named Asher Zines, who's 21, whose grandfather was one of the four who lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Asher will be at the games there, and he'll be lighting a candle at the memorial ceremony. And in fact, at the last game, so the game starting this week is the 21st Maccabiah. At the 20th, the son of what one of the four who lost their lives participated actually as a lawn bowler, and as a temperance bowler,
right.
And his father had been a temperance bowler as well. So there are certainly, and this goes to your question as well, there's a lot of family continuity, if I can put it that way, in the Maccabi fraternity, and I have no doubt that applies everywhere. I should mention as well that the captain of the Australian team is actually being given the honor of carrying the flag at the opening ceremony, is a former South African. His name is Johnny Pillemer, and he and his two brothers all played first division soccer football in Johannesburg way back when, before immigrating to this country.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible, and quite a time to be there with the visit of Joe Biden as well. Can you imagine what Israel is going to be like in the next week?
Oh my God, in terms of security, everything that goes with that, plus the fact that we have, you know, 10,000 or whatever the number is, athletes, supporters, managers, coaches, etc., all pouring into Israel right now for the opening of the 21st Maccabiah.
Absolutely incredible and amazing to see how Australia has dealt with this and how they have bounced back. Vic Aladev, thank you. As always, we chat to Vic Aladev, our Australia correspondent, every Tuesday at this time.